Bethel World Outreach Church. Reaching a city to touch the world.
We're just going to take a moment, read these verses together all the way to verse 21. And when I'm going to say ready, read, and you'll just begin to read. Ready, read. I'm so happy to have the opportunity after 5 days of going without food and focusing on Jesus Christ and His Word that I feel full of faith and full of an opportunity to communicate something to you that will maybe take you to another level as a leader. In this text, we see some things that seem to be troubling to our human existence, that in the world there's factions, our own weakness as humans and our own vulnerability and susceptibility. But there's also a spiritual wicked thing that can come over man and torment his life. And it seems as if sometimes Jesus is unaware of this, or Jesus' people is unaware of this. But the scripture says that he was anointed and he came to destroy the works of the devil, and that he came to equip us and empower us to do everything he's able to do. So I want to encourage you, you know, after a fast, you have this dynamic spiritual experience with the Lord where maybe perhaps he's spoken to you. Maybe perhaps he's given you clarity. Maybe purged you or delivered you from something. And you feel that euphoric, you know, alive, vibrant you come back to the surface. I want to try to give you a message that can help you maintain that mountaintop experience you're on. Before this event happened where Jesus really deals with the demonic in someone, the disciples and Jesus were in the most fantastic church meeting that had ever existed. Every one of us would have wanted to be in this church meeting. If I was in this church meeting, I would have a t-shirt that says, I was on the Mount of Transfiguration. I saw Jesus in his glory. You can't touch me. You know, I would be in pride. I know I would. That's why I didn't get to go to the mountain. But Peter, James, and John, some of the chief disciples and close friends, were on the mountain with Jesus. In fact, the scripture said they were asleep. And as they were waking up, they saw Jesus standing with Moses and Elijah, one having been dead for 1,400 years, another for 900 years, standing talking with Jesus. But something was a bit different in this mountaintop. They weren't clothed in the natural clothes, but Jesus had shed his physical limitations and expressed in that moment that he was just not in the flesh, but he was God in the flesh. And as they beheld that glory, it was so glorious. It's like coming to church and just wanting God to show up or pour out or touch you or do something magnificent and thinking that's the best church service you've ever been in, and the glory of the Lord is there. And imagine it's 1,000 times better than that. That's what Peter was enjoying. And Peter said, Lord, I'm so happy we're here. I'm so happy we're here. We need to build one church for you, one church for Moses, one church for Elijah. We're going to charge down at the end of the mountain. I can be the business manager. Not business. I can be the business manager. I can have it all going on great. I know that all of us love the mountaintop, and it is human nature to live within a mountaintop experience, to crave it, to look for it. and to make living on the mountain your highest achievement. But how many know that the air on the top of a mountain is not designed for you? So as much as you might want to live there, you can only visit. And when we get to glory one day, we can be there. It's something about Peter's disposition that helps me understand that he would rather be there and rest in that pleasantness. That day is coming for all of us, but there's so much work to be done. Why would Jesus give you an empowerment and an experience? It's so that the end of this verse says that if you have faith as a seed, you'd be able to say to this mountain, move from here to there. He knows that after you get off the mountaintop, there's a valley. And there's another mountain that's standing in your way. And he is giving us the clues we need by faith to deal with it. Now, the scripture makes it very clear. We don't live for a miracle. We don't live exclusively for pleasure. The just live by faith. And faith comes by hearing, and hearing a word from God, that word can be a lamp unto your feet and a guide unto your path. In other words, he has given instruction for us to do something he wants us to do. So these disciples who are on the top of the mountain, and they're about to encounter right away in the valley a conflict. Jesus and the other disciples, after that moment, come down from the mountain, and the first thing they encounter is people who don't like them, people who want to argue with them, and a whole host of other people who need them. Another set of people who are judging them. And the disciples, seemingly at this moment of this tension, are silent. Instead of working the crowd with the power that Jesus has already given them and with the assignment Jesus has already given them, there seems to be nothing that anyone is willing to say. And then there's a man that comes out of the crowd. Doesn't say what his name is, but he identifies himself by a problem. He comes to Jesus. I can already tell you something about this man. I know that he may not believe he's in the faith, but he is demonstrating through coming to Jesus an act of faith. You know, no matter what type of strength you have, when you come to Jesus, you are exercising faith. It doesn't matter your infirmity or your weakness or your past failure, or how many years, like he has said, from childhood, his son has been tormented. Now, the Bible says he would have seizures, he would fall down, he would foam at the mouth. The Bible says whenever there was a fire, he would go walk in it. If there was water, he would go and jump in it. And he comes to Jesus with a complaint that, Jesus, you seem, when I look at you, to be a person who offers deliverance for these things. But when coming to someone who's on your team, when coming to someone who's a leader with you, I found them incapable of doing what I heard you can do, which is deliver my child. I know I'm coming to you, but I don't know if I'm coming to you yet to heal my son, or coming you to complain because you got my hopes up and I've been let down. I know I'm in the mob, but I'm leaving some room that I know that there could be more, but I'm so disappointed because I didn't get what I wanted the first time. I don't even know if I want to try it. I'm going to tell you, you might be sitting in here right now and you can identify with this man, because even though you're in the church, you feel like the people of God are the very people who let you down. They didn't show up on time. They didn't really discern you were crying out to them and you needed their help. They didn't provide you with that breakthrough that you needed. They wore the cross, but they didn't have the love. They said they were disciples, but they didn't have the power. Have you ever been disappointed in that way? The disciples, instead of them being the people who the scripture says came to the Lord, it was someone else. If you're going to go tell my boss on me, I'm going to get to my boss first and say, hey, Jesus, I had a couple problems. I was trying to do what you told us to do. It wasn't working. What's the next step? Because, you know, I don't want them coming to you telling you what I'm not doing. This man demonstrated that he wanted from Jesus. And, you know, Jesus then is about to respond. You know, a lot of times that we want Jesus in our life, but you know the Jesus we want the one with a lamb on his neck. There's Jesus. Feed my lambs, tend my sheep, over all a vigil keep. In my name lead them forth, gently as a shepherd. I mean, that's the Jesus we want. He just, he didn't lie and lambish and just, you know, won't hurt me. But, you know, Jesus, it's funny here, Jesus is responding to all of the situation, and he begins to say some words that appear to be very harsh. Unbelievers. Unbelievers. Crooked generation. Look at y'all doing. How long am I going to be with you? How long am I going to show you and you not get it? It seems to be that no matter where you are in God, whether you're the father coming to him or you're the disciple being trained as a leader by him, he seems to have an expectation that we should catch on to the fact that he wants to give us something that changes our life. And Jesus quickly moves from that to demonstrating the love and mercy he has, even when we don't see that it just takes a little step of faith to get a mighty return. It just takes a little. And he takes the little step that this father is coming to teach all of us a great lesson. Jesus does what Jesus can do. He rebukes the devil. So if all else fails, the church fails you, I fail you, your mom fails you, your dad fails you, society fails you, come to Jesus. He will not fail you. Come to Jesus. But I don't believe that's the greatest lesson he's trying to teach us. That's the fail-safe lesson he's trying to teach us. He's trying to show us that think of the smallest step of faith that you can take. And if you take that step, I'm going to allow you to address your mountain in the same way I'm addressing the demonic in this child. I just want you to know how I want you to participate. So Jesus asked the man some questions like, what's been going on? He says, been like this from birth. And the moment that the child is coming to Jesus, he begins to convulse and he thrown on the ground. Because see, when you come to Jesus, what he teaches you, what he wants you to know about him, what he wants you to know, in order for you to grow, is that there's nothing he can't handle. There's nothing impossible for him. But why does he want you to know that? So that you can know his final lesson. There's nothing impossible for you. He's telling you, because he knows he's not going to physically be with them forever, but he wants them to know that as long as my spirit is in you and you're moving like I say move, you're going to have breakthrough. Now, the disciples, you might be wondering, what's going on in their head? The disciples are much like all of us as leaders in this church now. They received just the chapter, just the verses above, they received authority from Jesus to heal the sick, to cast out devils. And the scripture said they went about doing that. And we know the span that they did it was for about a week. They had already been getting victory. They had already been on the mountaintop. But yesterday's victories do not turn into today's victories. The last I checked is give us this day our daily bread. Man doesn't live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. You need a rhema word from God every day so that you can have faith that comes back hearing that word and you can act in faith on what God says. I'm glad you have fasted 5 days. I'm glad you had a Mount of Transfiguration experience. I'm glad you got some devils out of your life. But there are some people that God wants you to be a blessing in their life after you come off the mountain where that power has got to remain on you, and you're only going to get that power to remain on you if you keep on praying, if you keep on fasting, not as an obligation or a duty, but as a focus on what Jesus can do when you operate in his spirit. This is the lesson he's trying to teach them. And they pull him to the side, and why couldn't we do it? Why couldn't we do it? And you know what I think I'm going to use? Some of what the Lord said and some Bethel terminology and some lowisms. They couldn't do it
Because the Bible says it's because of the, if you had little faith, you could say to a mountain. So because they didn't even move the devil, it's almost that they didn't have little faith. Isn't it funny? God is not asking you for a great step. I got to radically change my life. I got to move to another house, another city. I got to get another job. I got to get another spouse. Stop. These are little steps. This is the smallest. How do you know that? Because Matthew 13 says, he said, here's what the kingdom of God is like. A mustard seed, which is the smallest of all seeds. But yet when it is sown, it becomes the tallest tree in the garden, and it grows to the degree that others are able to come and sit in its branches. What is he trying to tell you? See, a seed, a mustard seed is small. It's the smallest seed there is. So he's trying to tell you, don't get in your head from the enemy some great, big, elaborate thing you've got to do in order to have God use you. He's not made it that difficult. He said, I just want you to do a small step. You know, most of the things I've done in life that have been great, Pastor Rice and I were talking about this two nights ago, because this is one of his life verses, that some of the smallest things have yielded the biggest return. The first time I seen somebody blind healed, I mean, I don't even know if I had authentic faith, but I had at least a little faith. And I saw them the first time when we was in Mexico, and Patty and I, we praying for a skull. They came to us with the lady's bandage around that's holding her head together. You can feel the split, the crater. And they come to us like, they said, all of the evangelists that can help. Now, your mind, you want to say, man, why didn't they select somebody else? But now it comes to you, the lady's head is wrapped up, and they're putting your hand, they're so desperate, they're putting your hand on their head. I'm almost thinking this wasn't my faith, it was their faith. This is how much it works. This is how little it takes. And when my hand went on and Patty's hand went on, we couldn't understand what she was saying, but what we were saying in English, oh, it's moving. Her skull, we felt it. Fused back together, and she kept coming to the meetings the rest of the week without bandages or anything. But you would think we dedicated like 40 days to get a, 40 days to get the skull to fuse back together, which you need about 40 days of prayer and fasting. It's just not that. It's like when you're on a mission field, you're so focused on the mission and the word that just miraculous things happen throughout the focus. He's trying to say, if you have faith as a seed goes in the ground. Now, when that seed goes in the ground, the external breaks off of it. See, the seed, if he was just talking about a literal seed or just having a literal promise of God, you can throw. This is what happens to us. We get a promise of God, we just throw it at something. Throw on that promise. But it's the word, but it's not mixed with faith yet, so it don't profit you. That's just like your seed, just throwing it at something. Yeah, you're healed in Jesus' name. But you don't really have a conviction yet because it's not taking root in you. You don't really believe it. But see, you got to shed the external. You got to actually sow that word in your heart. He sowed that word in their heart. This is how easy it is. This is how easy it is. A little step. Getting the word, sowing it in your heart. It began to be the biggest tree that you could stand on. Why does God want you to have faith, Bethel? Why does he want you to grow in grace, grow in faith? Why? It's because the birds were able to come in that tree and have a place to rest. You know, when you are a person of faith, not only is your own personal salvation and your own breakthrough important, you're able to hold the weight of all those who bring a demon-possessed child to you or need a breakthrough from some type of addiction. Whatever a mountain it is in your life, you can speak to it because he said nothing is impossible to you. Do you know there's mountains in your life? You may say, well, Pastor, there ain't no mountain. I don't see anything. Here's a mountain. Because I don't believe that Jesus was speaking about a literal physical mountain. I think he was actually speaking about a spiritual one that you can move. And he's saying, I don't know. And here's how you know if you have a mountain. If you have something in your life that's immovable through all your human effort, that means you tried to be disciplined, but it still shows up. You tried to be kind, but it's still there. You've actually quoted the scripture, had people pray for you, and it's still there. And it tries to tell you that it's game over. The mountain is speaking to you. I'm telling you that Jesus is saying, here's what I can do if you take the smallest faith and you direct it toward your biggest challenge. In my name and with my authority, you're able to tell that mountain, get out of your way. See, it's impossible with man. But God's right. And then he ends with the final thing. He said, it's like he was saying to the disciples, you know why you really couldn't handle this spirit when just a week ago you were casting out all spirits? He said, because this kind requires prayer. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man makes much power available. This one requires pressing in. Do you remember in Mark 9, it tells you more of an elaborate story of how the devil came out of a person? And in that process, Jesus began to show that just at his name, the demon becomes arrested. But if you stand there, phone in faith, you'll see a person delivered. What do I want to tell you? That God took us as a church during the fast to some mountaintop experiences. I had me a few mountaintop experiences right here. But then after the fast, he's helping me. And after the fast, the day the fast ended, within the first 5 minutes I was in the argument, going out to Vaughn right there about where we was going to eat. And it was serious to me. Well, we got to go home and feed the dog. Forget the dog. He going to make it. He been eating every day. I've been fasting 5 days. Come on, that dog going to make it, baby. Come on. Then I was like, forget it. I'm just going to drive home. And then I'll sit out in the car because there ain't nothing to eat at home because we ain't been eating. I got to still drive to the place. But see, as soon as you're done, the enemy is going to come and bring something to you to frustrate you. And guess what? Don't worry about it. Because Jesus is telling you that just like something simple can kind of distract you, he's giving you a simple formula that can bless you and bless everyone around you how to work your faith. Amen? So stand to your feet. Maybe you started on the Mount of Transfiguration. And now you're in the valley where there's some challenges. And there are mountains all around you saying, now you fasted, what are you going to do? Well, you know what? Keep growing in grace. Keep the word of God present in my life. Keep fasting and praying. Keep coming to Empower on Friday, leadership and development and training. Because the more you're around the word, the more you're going to have power to grow. I want to end with a revelation. You may not have caught everything I wanted to communicate to you in this message today. Maybe something actually escaped you. But in this moment, one of my deep convictions is to get all of us to remember, if all else fails, we can be like that man who had a problem and come to Jesus. I don't know what the problems are you have. Frankly, I don't know if they're my business. I don't know if they're anybody's business unless you invite them into it. But I know that something about coming and kneeling before Jesus makes all the difference in the world. And I feel compelled to give you a moment. I found myself on the Friday night of the fast. I don't know if I'm a kneeler during worship, God, but I was brought to my knees overwhelmingly out of desperation for God on the last day for him to meet me. And he met me right about here on my knees. I didn't even know I needed to be met at that level, but he met me. And I perceived that I know you can't see it in the invisible, but there's a breakthrough might here for you. And it's here for you as an individual because God's trying to make you a vision carrier, a gospel carrier. trying to upgrade you, disciples, as a leader, but you can't do it weighed down. So if you're in the day and you've been carrying some oppression, is this what it's like? If it's been robbing, something's been robbing you of joy, of peace, if you find frequent frustration, anxiety, or worry, things you just can't stop thinking about or doing, you need to come and receive the miracle breakthrough. It's not that anything demonic is in you, but something demonic is trying to control you. And sometimes you need to get free in that degree. So I'm going to have her sing this song that was breaking me free, and I feel like there's a freedom in it. And I don't know where you're at, but you need to come. I sense it by the Holy Spirit. Come. Kneel before the Lord and receive His washing.
If you've watched this message and you want to make Jesus Lord of your life, I've got good news. You can do it right now. I want you to pray with me. Say, Lord Jesus, come into my life for the rest of my life. I acknowledge I am a sinner. I need you, my Savior. I believe you died for me. I believe you were raised from the dead on the third day. And I confess that you are now Lord of my life. If you've just prayed that prayer, I have good news for you. You have eternal life. The next step for you is to get in a Bible-believing church. We volunteer to be that church. But if not us, we pray God's blessings on you as you search for God's best for you. Thank you.